Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, whose contributors help Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributor Honolulu Waldorf School.
Welcome to the new reality edition of Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio, where we serve you the first bite of today's science, technology, and innovation. I'm Bert Lum, and on today's show, we have Micah Mizumoto, and he's an instructional technology specialist, as well as Mimi Wong. She's the instructional technology manager, and they're both from Kamehameha Schools, and they're here to talk about the KS Education Technology Conference coming up. I want to welcome you both to Bite Marks Cafe.
Aloha, Bert. Thank you so much for having us on this afternoon.
Yeah, I know. It's great to have you both on. And, you know, I think this might be the first time I've had you guys on to talk about the KS, EdTech Conference. You know, there's been a number of different conferences going on throughout the years featuring, you know, basically kind of tailored toward the education community. And I do want to give you guys a chance to talk a little bit about, you know, how does the KS conference sort of stand out and differentiate itself. But first off, I want to give you both a chance to talk a little bit about what you do. And maybe, Mimi, can you, sort of start off, what is instructional technology in terms of your group? And what do you see it being the main sort of facilitator of?
Well, mahalo, Bert, again, for having us on this afternoon. So our instructional technology specialists provide technology integration support to our kumu, our teachers, and haumana, our students, across our three campuses and our preschools. And so basically, they work in partnership with our teachers to think of innovative ways to enhance instruction through the use of different kinds of technologies. And we have 12 instructional technology specialists, well, actually 14 ITSs across our campuses.
And maybe that's a good time for Micah. What, you know, you're part of the 14. How does it get sort of distributed or differentiated? Do you have, let's say, I don't know, three or four on each of the islands, or do you kind of differentiate by subject matter? And how do you stay current? There's a lot of questions in that one question.
Let me try to answer all of those. So we have, there's three of us on our Hawaii campus, as well as three of us on our Maui campus, mm-hmm. Serving each level. So, you know, elementary, middle school, and high school. And then our Kapalama campus, there's actually, Mimi, if I can do the math right, there's six of us on Kapalama.
Right. Yeah.
And we serve all between elementary to high school. And the two others actually support our community under our KS preschools. For me personally, I support our Kapalama Middle School. Mm-hmm. It's actually where I taught English, eighth grade English, about like 5 to 6 years ago. So in terms of staying current, I think AI, you know, it's such a big topic, and it's everywhere, right, in all of our lives. So it's really hard not to stay current on all of these things, because like every morning my news feed will show me different innovations, you know, happening. So it's really fun to actually stay on top of AI and explore what the kinds of things that we can use AI with in education.
You know, but you know, AI is one of the sort of rising and very influential technologies, but over the course of you know, the years that you folks have both been involved with this, I'm sure that you're involved with a number of different sort of, let's say, platforms, whether it's what's best to use for everything from, you know, word processing and spreadsheets, as well as let's say multimedia content creation, or even things like video conferencing, like how Zoom kind of took over during the whole COVID. So In the work that you folks do, how do you decide, you know, what is the best for any of the teachers as well as the age groups? Because you got elementary to middle to high school. I mean, how do you start to really pick the best tools that the teachers can use, and how would it best, you know, benefit the students? So maybe you can sort of help tackle that one.
Well, sure. Yeah, so I think it's a combination of continuously researching current trends in education technology, mm-hmm. and becoming familiar with, you know, exploring like the different current platforms, as well as having an understanding and partnership with our teachers to understand what they're doing in the classroom and what their units of study look like, and then how the technology can then enhance what they're doing, mm-hmm. whether it's going to be a spreadsheet or employing 3D design and 3D printing into the project. We try to help and guide the Kumu through the process of identifying what technologies might work for them best.
Mm-hmm. And you know, kind of going back to the question I sort of posed earlier, you know, there's a number of different ed tech conferences that take place over the course of the year, and I mentioned, you know, like there's things like STEMWorks and the DOE, obviously they have a number of different conferences, and it's pretty much open to anyone that's interested in the education community and technology and how it gets applied. And the other one that I've been seeing over the course of the last, I don't know, 10 years that I've been, you know, kind of looking and paying attention is the Schools of the Future. So how do you see the KS EdTech Conference fitting in, differentiating? What's the sweet spot? And maybe go ahead and jump on that.
Oh, sure. Mohammed. So really, our conference was born out of our UT director, Dean Tumita. It mm-hmm. was his vision, really, to offer an educational technology conference that's intimate in size. So it's not a huge conference. We typically have around 500 attendees. He wanted it to be of equal caliber to a national conference. Those kinds of conferences that are offered through the continental U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, so our conference is intimate. We try to find, presenters that are from the mainland as well as local presenters. And we try to make it as engaging as possible. So besides our breakout sessions, we do have a variety of engagement activities throughout the conference to make it a really wonderful learning experience for the attendees.
And do you also take part in any of these other conferences that I just mentioned?
We do. Some of our ITSs serve mm-hmm. as presenters at Schools of the Future. And so we do have a good partnership with the team that helps to organize that conference.
Okay, very good. And then I do want to give Micah a chance to maybe talk a little bit about what goes into the KS EdTech Conference. And since I figured, Micah, you've gone to all of these, you know, maybe you can describe what's the process of actually picking up maybe the best things that pique your interest, and then how does that perhaps get incorporated into the KS EdTech Conference. So we'll hold that thought. We'll be right back after this short break to continue our conversation with Micah Mizumoto. He's the Instructional Technology Specialist, and Mimi Wong, the Instructional Technology Manager from Kamehameha Schools. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, whose contributors help Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributor Honolulu Waldorf School.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio, HPR 1. I'm Bert Lum, and if you're just joining us, we're talking to Micah Mizumoto. He's an Instructional Technology Specialist, as well as Mimi Wong, Instructional Technology Manager over at Kamehameha Schools. And of course, we're here talking about the upcoming KS Education Technology Conference. And right before the break, you know, Micah, seeing all these conferences and seeing kind of like the pace of change that a lot of these you know, sort of digital technologies are advancing. And it seems to be advancing at a sort of exponential pace right now. Maybe you can share a little bit about what you've perhaps experienced in some of the conferences, and what do you see being things that you might want to pick out and implement, you know, in the KS EdTech conference?
Yeah, so this earlier this year, I actually had the opportunity to go to a innovative school summit mm-hmm. in New York. Mm. And one of the neat things actually about going, you know, to the continent, to all these different conferences, and, you know, we've been very fortunate to be able to attend these different conferences, is you know, really seeing how these technologies and different tools are being implemented in other places. And a lot of things that we look at least I'm looking at personally, are really like the policies and the procedures of how schools are handling, you know, this technology and this other platform. But in terms, and, you know, of course, like we, at our EdTech conference, we want to share all these sorts of things as well. But one of the ways that we try to frame our conference every year is by looking at different learning strands. Mm-hmm. And one of the strands that I think makes our conference very unique is that, especially this year, one of our strands is on culture. So, you know, really exploring Hawaiian culture-based education, technologies of the past and the present. And at Kamehameha, we do have our set of what we call Aola Learner Outcomes, which really grounds our teaching practice and our haumana learning. And even really all that everyone does together collectively in different Hawaiian cultural values. So yeah, I think that's something that we especially look forward to, is finding those presenters and finding sessions that are able to, you know, connect culture and technology in those sorts of ways.
So when you go to the conferences on the continent, and it sounds like, you know, some of them are pretty interesting, innovative, kind of cutting edge. Where do you see that intersection between kind of culture, indigenous knowledge, and ed tech in those conferences? And I would guess that Hawaii is kind of rich for that intersection. But do you see evidence of that at conferences that you go to elsewhere?
You know, Bert, unfortunately, I don't see too much of it. Mm-hmm, and last year I went to a conference in Seattle. And so last year as well, I actually presented at the Schools of the Future conference.
Mm-hmm.
And I was inspired to present actually because of the lack of, you know, indigenous representation at a lot of these conferences. There was maybe a two or three presentations that even mentioned culture, especially in terms of AI, because, of course, AI's knowledge, as it was at that time and still kind of is very Western centric, right?
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, so to answer that question, I guess not as much as I would have liked to see.
Well, that's interesting, and Mimi, maybe you can sort of share some insights into, you know, how the KS EdTech conference might embrace that. And it's a really interesting topic to me because I've been following closely projects like Purple Mai'a, and how, you know, from a, you know, this is obviously, you know, after any kind of high school, you know, their program is for anyone that has graduated. But it's really finely tuned to that intersection between, you know, indigenous knowledge and technology. And I, you know, hearing what Micah just said and looking at how you might architect, you know, the KS EdTech conference, I think it's really a rich opportunity for people attending to maybe really see some of that benefit, right, from traditional knowledge, and how does that start to embrace the new technologies? I know, and the point, and Mimi, you know, if I am steering you in the wrong direction, just let me know. But you know, there's this tendency for AI to be very kind of extractive, right? Because a lot of it is about how all the information that's out there can be feeding the LLMs. And, you know, when you start to talk about indigenous knowledge, you know, it's really kind of unique to the cultural place. So I'm just sort of curious, Mimi, what you think of how that might influence, you know, the conference and some of the topics?
That's a really good question. We're really fortunate to have some really wonderful presenters this year who are going to be speaking to that topic of how they are navigating the use of AI and really, really thoughtfully and intentionally incorporating it into learning spaces. And we actually have Purple Maya, some of the Purple Maya staff that are going to serve as our featured presenters at the conference. So they'll be sharing the different innovative ways that they are incorporating it into their programs. We also have educators from different schools, charter schools, as well as public and private schools that will be sharing the different ways that they're using AI at the intersection of Hawaiian culture and AI integration.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And Micah, you know, in terms of the conference, where do you see the emphasis? Is it to get people exposed to, you know, how to use the new technologies like AI? Or is it to also embrace this intersection? Because you have to have some appreciation of how to use it before you start to think of the, you know, the nuances of your now, you know, ability to use it. And I guess what I'm trying to say is that you got to learn how to use it before you can kind of be more specific about how it is that you use it.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think, you know, our conference, when it comes to our presenters and our sessions, there's really a range of skill levels, you know, that these presentations are tailored to. So we'll have some folks that will be kind of, you know, introducing these technologies and AI to teachers that may be a little more unfamiliar with it, all the way to some presentations that are going to be talking about how to vibe code and how to integrate it into, you know, cybersecurity, computer science kind of platforms. But really, I think, and I hope I'm not going off topic here, but I think what's kind of neat about our conference too, thinking about it, especially earlier in a conversation, is that technology is not just about, you know, like these future things that's happening, but also like thinking about the technologies of the past, and they were calling it OG technologies. So for example, when we think about, we actually have a pre-conference Huaka'i field trip the day before our conference starts. And one of those places is Paipai Ohe'ia, the fish pond.
Right.
And they'll be serving as future presenters as well, talking about the technologies that our ancestors and our kupuna use to understand, you know, fishing practices, and also how they use modern science to you know, keep track of different, I don't really know what to keep track of, but I think you know what I'm trying to say, you know, the different temperatures of the water, the pH level, and all those sorts of things. So yeah, we really kind of look at that whole holistic kind of view of technology with this conference.
Well, you know, that's a very interesting way to approach it, because I like the idea that, you know, there's a lot of traditional technologies that we sometimes just take for granted, you know, like the water quality of a lo'i, or how does a, you know, an actual loko'ia work, right? And even, you know, I was just sort of, again, you got me off topic, Micah, so I'm, you know, but, you know, I wanted to also sort of recognize, you know, people like Papa Mao, P. Ilug, who helped to really re-energize the navigation that is now what we appreciate, you know, with Hokulea and Hiki Analia, that are now going, you know, around the world voyage, which is celestial navigation, right? And that technology was quite basically astounding. And it wasn't based on any kind of computing. It was all how you can really read the stars. And anyway, so I guess what I'm getting at is, I totally agree with you, Micah. There's a lot of stuff that can be learned from just the traditional knowledge? And then how do you keep that as relevant going into the future? So I do want to continue to talk a little bit more about, you know, the sessions that you folks are offering. And we'll hold that thought. We'll be right back at this short break to continue our conversation with Michael Mizumoto, Instructional Technology Specialist, and Mimi Wong, Instructional Technology Manager over at Kamehameha School. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributors Ulupono Initiative and Ruby Tuesday Hawaii.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe. I'm Bert Lum right here on Hawaii Public Radio, HPR 1. And if you're just joining us, we're talking to Michael Mizumoto. He's the Instructional Technology Specialist. And we have Mimi Wong. She's the Instructional Technology Manager over at Kamehameha Schools. And we're talking about the upcoming Kamehameha Schools EdTech Conference coming up. And right before the break, Micah, you got me started on, you know, this whole idea of traditional knowledge. And it's great to hear that you're going out to Paipaioheia. And so tell me a little bit about, you know, what is it that you want to try to achieve in sharing some of that really, you know, sort of get your feet in the water technology, and then jumping into something like AI. How do you bridge that?
That's a good question, and that's why we have our awesome presenters to speak to that. But I think there are some. I might be going a little off topic again, but there are some really neat projects that our Kumu are working on. At Kamehameha, you know, bridging the gap between our culture and, you know, these future technologies. So while I can't speak specifically to Paipaioheia and what their session will be, everyone will have to come and watch their session to learn what they talk about. An example of something that we were just working on last week actually was, you know, telling mo'olalo and telling these stories in new ways and using AI to even generate images or, you know, imaginative narratives over some of these cultural and traditional things.
No, that sounds great. And I do want to give you a chance to talk a little bit about what is what can people expect, you know, in attending the conference. And maybe start off by sharing a little bit about who is your audience. I mean, who do you want to actually attend? I mean, it's really... you've whetted my appetite, so I definitely want to, you know, come check it out. Well, who do you want to have come and receive, you know, some of the knowledge from the speakers and some of the ideas of, you know, how to implement some of the education tech tools, you know, in their classrooms? Who do you want to have actually come to this? And Mimi, maybe you can jump in here.
Well, sure. This conference is open to the public. One who's just interested in ed tech is certainly welcome to attend our conference. And it really, though, is catered to educators from preschool through up through higher ed. Whether you're an educator or administrator, we would love for you to be there at our conference next in a couple weeks.
Now, do you make it also available for students to attend?
It's really catered to educators, but we will be having haumana presenters, student presenters, which we're really excited about. We love when our students can come and share the different ways that they've incorporated technology into their learning. Mm-hmm. And so we will have quite a few different presenters, student presenters from different schools across our state.
All right. Micah, you know, in terms of... outcomes. I mean, what would you like to see as outcomes? And maybe start with, you know, maybe pick a topic that seems to be top of mind that will get presented, you know, at the conference. And what would you like to see as a result of that particular presentation or panel or what have you?
Yeah, so I'm going to bring up AI again. I mean, we know it's the hot topic, but, you know, I think, like I mentioned earlier, there's such a range of skill levels when it comes to Kumu, you know, all over in terms of their familiarity with AI. So not just AI, but our hope would be that every kumu that comes to this conference, attends this conference, will be able to at least have their eyes open to something new and really want to take that learning and try it, you know, in their classroom. That's really the greatest hope for us, is that they can learn something new, connect, you know, network with others, and feel confident to take that learning into their classroom the next school year.
Now, this is a multi-day conference, right? So share a little bit about, you know, what's the dates of this conference and what's to be expected as the days unfold?
Yeah, so our conference is a two-day conference that's on June 2nd and 3rd at the Neo Blaisdell Center Exhibition Hall. They're both two full days of learning with a keynote on each day, along with our breakout sessions, different exhibits that we have going on there. And also, we do have a pre-conference for Waikai, which is both an ed camp and or that field trip to Paipai Hore'ia on June 1st, as I mentioned earlier.
And so as people are, you know, interested in signing up, I mean, are they able to sign up for the 3 days, or do they pick, you know, which days they want to be a part of this?
Yeah, so everyone is free to register for our conference. That would be for the 2 days, and also sign up for the pre-conference Hokkaido as well.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Mimi, this is available to the public. Is there a cost to be involved in this?
There is a cost. So it's $175 for both days, as well as the pre-conference Hokkaido if they opt to attend those. And they can. It will also include both breakfast and lunch on both days.
And if people are interested in the pre-conference, I mean, that's part of the package.
Yeah, so they can choose to attend either Ed Camp or the Pai Pai Ohe Huaka'i.
And what is entailed in the Ed Camp?
So the Ed Camp Honolulu is a wonderful venue where educators come together, and they kind of determine what they would like to chat about and discuss. And from there, an agenda is created for the afternoon. And they break up into different sessions, and they talk there. Then they have the opportunity to chat about that topic of interest throughout the afternoon.
Oh, okay. So it's kind of like an unconference. I mean, you call it an ed camp.
Yeah, exactly.
No,
yeah.
Yeah, those unconferences are great. I mean, it's you come in without really kind of any preconceived notion, and then, you know, through the group discussion, you decide, okay, this is what we're going to focus in on. So that's great. Okay, so where can people find out more information about the Kamehameha School EdTech Conference?
Yeah, so they can go to our conference site. It's bit.ly, bit.ly/kukulu. 26, and it's KUKULU 26.
Very good.
bit.ly/kukulu 26.
I'll put that up on our show notes for later on. Mike Mizumoto is the Instructional Technology Specialist, and Mimi Wong, Instructional Technology Manager over at the Kamehameha Schools, of course, and they are both organizers of the Kamehameha Schools EdTech Conference coming up in June. I want to thank you both for joining me.
Mahalo, Nui, Bert, for providing us with this opportunity to share about our conference.
Thank you. And, of course, thank you for listening to Bite Marks Cafe. Join us next week when we'll talk about workforce development with Imua Onipa'a. If you miss any part of this edition, you can find the podcast of tonight's show on bitemarkscafe.org. In the meantime, you stay safe, you stay awesome. We'll see you next week on another edition of Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributors Ulupono Initiative and Ruby Tuesday Hawaii.